Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. It's Monday, February 10th, 2020. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. And are we ever grateful that we have such a large listening audience? It's largely because many of you have shared this virally with so many. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format. I will let Rob Crispin do the written format. We're going to do the audio format. Fits with my personality. And you can listen to this anytime, anywhere. And I think that's what's appealing to so many people. Just got back from New Orleans at the Independent Mortgage Bankers Conference. If there was any question, you know how we do this? We get everyone together and you go like, that's just a conference call between Andy Allen, you know, Alice, myself, and a guest occasionally as we have them in here. And Joe, guess what? We are so much bigger than that. It's so much. It's just so refreshing and heartwarming to see that we, the effort that we put into this is being enjoyed, and more than just enjoyed, but it's really helping a lot of people stay up on what's going on. So thank you, our listeners. We appreciate you sharing this around with so many. And again, we're always open to ideas how we could do this even better. But and also, hot topics. A lot of ideas are coming in on hot topic segments. But today, we're really excited to have Tyler Sherman, who's the Chief Revenue Officer for Origination Technologies, a division of Black Knight, the premier provider of integrated software, data, and analytics, joining us, effort to the mortgage industry, of course, joining us. And he's responsible for establishing a vision, and he's got a lot of vision. This guy has been visioning what the future should look like for years. He was at Motivity Solutions, and then they bought Black Knight bought Motivity Solutions, and they really have built something that's going on. So the executives and the leadership at Black Knight recognize that, and now he is in the leadership role himself. So we're very excited. They have a long-term strategy that combines Black Knight's leading products, including artificial intelligence, enterprise business intelligence, point of sales, fee service. We've had them on that group on here recently. Pricing, product eligibility, and e-closing. Brenda Clem's now there doing a lot of that. So I think she's there. Where on the heck is Brenda now these days? Anyway, Brenda's a big one on here. E-closing, that's Brenda Clem. But anyway, we're thrilled to have in the Hot Topic segment a good friend of mine, Tyler Sherman. So be sure to stay all the way tuned to the end of the topic or to the end of the program to or at the beginning of the Hot Topic segment. Okay, so let's clear that up. So what we've done is what we do for listenership, we find breaking the podcast. So when you're listening live, as many, many, many of you do on a streaming device, you will hear the whole topic, the whole podcast. But when we rebroadcast it, we break it into two segments. We do the industry update, which usually lasts approximately somewhere between 30, 35, 40 minutes. And then we go into the hot topic. And we break those two up so you can listen to them separately. And if you're listening to on a downloaded basis, they just play as if they're all one. But they are broken up. So if you want to go listen to just one of those topics. Hey, I want to say a big shout out to our listeners, Christy Moss, CMB at Form Free. Noticed that she has been commenting all over LinkedIn about some of our posts. I got to see her at the IMB conference. Christy is just the social media. She is a social media department all into herself. It's just so much to be around her. And I could just lift off, 20, 30 people walked up to me at the conference, at least that. That's probably an underestimate in the number that walked over and said some amazing things about our podcast. So thank you. Appreciate Christy and all that she does for our industry at Form Free. And used to be at Fannie, and we're now at Form. She's at Form Free. But anyway, Mitch Cohen, Director of Public Relations and Marketing Communications at Black Knight, sent out this information. The Freddie Mac 30-year rate is now at 3.45. Again, that's the last week's survey, and so it's not relevant necessarily today, but back then, it's the lowest in 3.5 years, 14 basis points above all-time lows. So getting back down there really nicely. But what's most interesting about this is Mitch is pointing out in their press release today is that the number of high-quality refinance candidates is now approximately 11.3 million more on an aggregated potential. So that's just a tremendous amount of revenue that you guys can get as a result of these rate drops. So rate drops are so sensitive to our volumes, where things are at. Very exciting to get this information. Check out the press releases from our friends at Black Knight. A lot more information in there. And if you go to LinkedIn, Mitch posts it, the Black Knight posts it there, as they will be posting this podcast. If you're looking for a Black Knight to work with somebody, you're missing out on a lot of information. If you're not checking out this information, you're missing out on a lot of great information. Get a hold of me or get a hold of our friends at Black Knight, including Tyler. So anyway, on with Tyler Sherman in just a little bit. But thanks, Mitch Cohn, for all that you do to get so much information sent out to us. All right, I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, of course, Black Knight, who we have as our guest, Open Mortgage, Finastra with their FusionBot solution, the Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative. Both these collaboratives help you get up close and personal with more people. And I love some of the things that both of these groups are doing at the peer analysis. Also, the Community Mortgage Lenders Association of America, not associated, Community Mortgage Lenders of America. There we go. Indicom, our latest new sponsor. Great to hear that they've joined us. You're going to be hearing more about them and some of their products in upcoming podcasts. Ainsworth Advisors, as well as Knowledge Coop, Mobility RE, Celebrity Home Loans. Dave Robnett and the team are doing a great job. We're going to get Pete back on the podcast here with some of the things that they're doing. Very innovative. Check out Celebrity Home Loans on their website. Also, Velma, Vidyard, VendorSurf. VendorSurf, we had Scott Roller on the podcast here just recently. Go check that. It's a great way to check out new vendors if you're searching for them. Who's out there? VendorSurf is a great solution, as well as AI Assist. And, of course, we want to say a special thank you to our regulars, Alice, Andy, Alan, and Joe. And so without further ado, let's get over to Rob Van Raphorst with this week's MBA Mortgage Minute.
Hi, I'm Rob Van Raphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, CFPB Director Kathy Kraninger provided semi-annual testimony before the House Financial Services Committee. The director responded to several inquiries regarding the QM patch. Kraninger indicated that the Bureau's exploration of eliminating the 43% DTI requirement under the qualified mortgage rule is not an attempt to encourage looser underwriting, rather an effort to capture well-performing affordable loans into the qualified mortgage definition. Kraninger also indicated that a replacement for the QM patch will be proposed by May. Also, on January 31st, the FHFA issued a proposal to raise the minimum financial eligibility requirements for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac seller servicers. One of the key changes would increase net worth requirements for agency seller servicers that also hold Ginnie Mae MSRs. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting information put out at the conference. Really enjoyed it. Sat down and talked to Greg Keith. We're going to have him on the podcast while I was talking to you. I have Jenny May, who's responsible for risk and compliance and credit risk and compliance, a number of other things. They're a very senior individual. And we're going to be talking more about what Jenny May is. There some of the changes that they're thinking about or things that they're just ongoing doing to manage the risk. It's not any major announcements, just some things they're doing. And then while we're talking, Michael Drain stepped up to the table. He added just some more information. So we're working on getting both of them or one of them on the podcast, Greg for sure. And then also where we're staying there, of course, Brian Montgomery walked by, and he said, what are you doing looking, talking to these two? So it was a great conversation with the head of FHA and then the two heads of Ginnie Mae. So a lot of good information about MSRs, what are the qualifications. There's ongoing concern by Ginnie Mae specifically about those who are holding MSRs. And it was talked about at the IMB conference that the capital requirements for those holding MSRs may be going up. So stay tuned. We're going to have them on. We'll get them to talk about it. Les Parker's here with us with today's TM Spotlight and this week's macro view of the markets. Les?
TM Spotlight Soundbite is brought to you by Ainsworth Advisors.
It can go its own way. go its own way. Bonds can call it another lonely day. Mortgage rates keep drifting lower in spite of the current epidemic in China because it is a U.S. market. The Fed and domestic banks own half of the outstanding mortgage-backed securities. Since the world owns U.S. 10-year Treasury notes, global events move its yield. So as the coronavirus goes its own way, yields fall, but signs of little massive disruption in commerce lift yields. So until the peak of new cases and while the virus tracks predictable models, the 10-year yield stays between 170 and 150. Notes can call it another likely day. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
You know, you'd think that Les Parker's like a major music nerd on popular music, but he isn't. And how he ties the topic of the day and this week and his report to some relative music has just always amazed me. Good job, Les. And, of course, Gary Kentrebone, who puts that all together. So glad to have them be a part of the podcast. If you want to check out the TM Spotlight, it's free. You can subscribe to Les' daily newsletter. It's free at tmspotlight.com. Check it out. Joe Farr, good to have you here with us, as you are each and every week. What you got for us?
Well, a lot like what Les was talking about. It all has to – there's a – you know, the coronavirus is – sort of driving the headlines and therefore driving the markets and causing a good bit of volatility. It's making it kind of tough to be a interest rate risk manager out there because, you know, the news comes out on an unscheduled basis and who knows what to predict. But, you know, Les said it right. It's, you know, it's based on the news and the determination of the pace of increase in new cases, which kind of came out this morning. We had two reports about the coronavirus today, which had an impact on stocks and therefore also on bonds. One was pretty negative early, and stock futures this morning were down a bit. And then about 9:30 Eastern, another report came out, which indicated the pace of new cases had slowed or was slower in this report. And stocks kind of bounced back, and you know, that's having an impact on or had an impact early on bond prices. Both stocks and bonds are higher now. The bonds have improved fairly significantly during the day and are at the high for the day. So just a tough time out there having an idea of what to do and how to explain it to customers, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was today. You know, looking at last week, it was more the same. You know, it's a lot. The coronavirus was having an impact on stocks and bonds. You know, had very good data last week. Early in the week, both the ISM manufacturing and the ISM services were good. Yeah. Stock market rallied pretty big Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And during that time, MBS prices fell a little bit. And then late in the week, you know, concerns about what might come ahead. You know, there's been some Friday sell-offs in the stock market as people are showing some concern about not knowing what new headlines may come out regarding the coronavirus. So they sell the stocks and invest a little bit more heavily in safer assets like bonds. So we saw a little bit of that last Friday as well. Even though, you know, there was a drop in the stock market on Friday, even though there was a tremendous jobs report, you know, 225,000 net new jobs, 160,000 were expected. So, yeah, it's just some somewhat irrational movements going on as it relates to what news you may be seeing, but it kind of makes sense when you understand the significance of the information coming out by about the virus. There's pretty significant economic data to come out this week, but again, who knows if that's going to be the driver of it or if there are going to be more coronavirus headlines that change that. But you got CPI inflation coming out on Thursday and retail sales coming out on Friday, and both could have a big impact on MBS prices in the stock market. And then as we just watch for new headlines, we'll see what effect the coronavirus has on the same.
Yeah, very interesting. It's amazing. A coronavirus impacting mortgage rates. To go figure.
It really does, yeah.
Yeah, but it does. It's absolutely there. It's real. Appreciate you, Joe. Thanks so much for dialing in and sharing your wisdom with us. Hope you can stay tuned for the whole podcast, especially the Hot Topic segment.
Let's
get your questions in. Good. Looking forward to it. Let's run over to Scott Gordon of Open Mortgage talking about the science of sales. Love this segment. Scott?
How many times have you been asked, what do you do? Too many to count. Most people answer with their job title. I'm a loan originator. Boring. Introducing yourself is an opportunity to communicate with story. Here are three steps to creating your story. 1. Invent a main character for the listener to play a part in the story. 2. Create an easy-to-follow series of events that pose a problem for the main character. And 3. Finish your story with a one-step description of what you do to solve the problem. When someone asks, "What do?" you could reply, "Imagine that you're a traveler in a foreign land, and what lies between you and your destination is a wilderness of quicksand, thorns, and overgrown trails. People can't brave the wilderness alone. To make it to the other side, you need a guide, and I am that guide. My team has the best track record of getting travelers through the wilderness without getting stuck in quicksand or lost." 3 steps to a simple story to answer one of the most common questions asked. This sounds too good to be true. It's not. It's just the science of sales.
Yeah, I get a lot of comments on that. When I'm at the conferences and things like that, Scott Gordon's segment on the science of sales is, I get people say, you know, I tried doing that. That works. It's really good. Appreciate you, Scott, for putting you and your marketing team putting that stuff together, those segments together. Really appreciate it. For more information, go check out all the videos of communication Open Mortgage does at openmortgage.com. Alice Alvey is not able to join us again this week, but we just we love having Alice on there. You can go listen to all of her segments by going to our website, lickinonlending.com, and under shows, you'll see the drop-down menu. You can catch all of Alice's updates. And so, anyway, miss you, Alice. Hope you're doing well, and look forward to having you back. Alan Pollock is here, though. So good to have Alan Pollock with this week's weekly tech update. How are you doing, friend?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Good to be here as always. Sorry Alice couldn't make it. And excited to talk to you later, Tyler. That's going to be a lot of fun. So
yeah.
Couple really cool things.
I was going to say Floridians, but he's up in Colorado, but he works for a Florida-based company. But yeah, looking forward to it. Yeah, what
does.
You got for
some of his coworkers are neighbors of mine and friends, and it's a small community for sure.
It is.
So this is kind of interesting. It's not really mortgage related, but I had to bring it up. This commercial has been on the radio like 100 times all weekend. It's the Google IT professional certification program. And, you know, why is it interesting? Because we talk about financial literacy. Well, you know, tech literacy is a thing too. And I'm sort of making that term up. But anyways, the point is that Google has now a program online. It's super inexpensive. They're providing scholarships, and they're also they have government grants for underserved communities. And what it is a program to learn all about software development. And 84%, listen to this number, 84% of learners report a career impact within 6 months, like getting a raise, finding a new job. And 60% of those learners identify as coming from historically underrepresented backgrounds in the technology field. So there are more jobs out there in tech than anything. And these programs are great. The companies that hire out of this program, we're talking about Bank of America. There's other banks in here, Walmart, Best Buy, Sprint, Hulu, Google. That's their program, right? PNC. So anyways, you want to check this out if you're interested in maybe partnering with them to bring employees in. But anyways, I thought that was very interesting. This one's pretty cool, David. Blend. Yeah, Blend is piloting a new digital mortgage closing tool. And what they're saying is called Blend Close. It's definitely in the pilot stage. That's why they're saying piloting. And what it will do is it will provide lenders with an e-closing solution. It's looking, you know, it of course will adhere to all the latest regulations, but it works directly with the borrower. And ultimately it supports e-sign, remote online notarizations, e-note and e-recording, and they have their support for hybrid and remote online closings. So we'll wait to hear more about it, but it is a step in the right direction. So congrats to Blend on that.
Yeah.
This next one, David, this is a company that I followed for quite a bit called HomeSnap. they have a pretty interesting platform if you're looking to really integrate part of the buying experience into your system or into even your front end with your loan officers and relationships. You definitely want to check them out. But listen to this. They created a brand new likelihood to list score. They're using millions of data points, right? AI.
A likely – say that again. Okay, that went rolled off real quickly. Roll that back by us.
Instead of –
likely
instead of LOL
to
for,
list as in put your home up for sale. A predictor,
LTL,
huh?
That's right. Not the LOL for looking on lending, but the LTL.
I love it.
And yeah, and so what they're saying is, you know, they can decide in which neighborhoods you're most likely to list a home in within the next 12 months. And what's interesting, right, is real estate agents, they throw out a bunch of postcards, you know, sort of throw a bunch of bait out and hope that something's going to bite. So this will help you hone in a little more microscopically and help you figure out what you're looking at. So that's an interesting one. You want to check out HomeSnap, especially if you have a tech platform or you're a bank and you're looking to integrate that in. You know, this one, this was an article I saw by Fannie, this next topic. It's a blog post. It talks about, you know, David, you probably heard me, and maybe I've said it on the podcast, the term, you know, banks, you can't afford, especially small community banks and credit unions, you can't afford not
right.
to be in mortgage, but they can't afford to be in mortgage. Well, this article talks about that a little bit.
Yep.
You know, how consumers are more willing now to choose their favorite tech company for a mortgage over their favorite bank. And banks, this is a call out. Banks have to step up their digital game and figure out how to streamline that process. Well, in light of that, you know, that's a great article, but they're also, you know, the war for deposits is on, especially for small community banks or banks that are looking to create new brand or even mortgage folks that are looking to create a bank. Jack Henry just released what they call their Bank Anywhere product. And what it allows you to do is get a new digital bank up in 90 days. FIS, Fiserv, and many others are following in the same suit. So if that falls within your wheelhouse, you want to check it out. Again, that's Bank Anywhere from Jack Henry. So, David, I'm going to leave us with this. Iowa, 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 right? I know we all have been thinking and reading. Regardless of your political position, it is a technology play. So get this, couple quick points, very interesting. Shadow was meant to be merely a playful name. It's a small team of political technologists. It's a name they gave to their company when they launched it,
right.
largely in reference to their product LightTrail, which was supposed to make moving data across campaign tools much easier. Anyways, what happened, obviously, as we know, is there was a bunch of different technology issues. It's birthed a ton of conspiracy theories. You can find those all online. But get this, right? And we've run into this in mortgage all the time. It was incorporated only in September, meaning that a crucial piece of the Iowa caucus was in the hands of a brand new tech company only 5 months old. In addition, and despite warnings from experts, the party handed part of its election infrastructure to a highly networked startup with a handful of engineers built entirely on a completely untried app. And then in addition to that, get this, this is even better. In preparation for the caucus, right, it was supposed to be that you take a snapshot, a picture of the results, you upload it through this app, and then it goes in, right? It was $60,000 to build the app. It took just a few months to develop it. There's 1,700 precincts that had to do this. Well, what went wrong? And it was detailed for many attempts. People couldn't log into the app. So obviously not enough testing was done or even stress testing. Precincts were able to log in, but the app struggled at the final step to get the upload confirmed to the reporting process. And sometimes the precinct chairs uploaded a photo and the app would show different information, the numbers, and what they had actually submitted, hence the conspiracy theories. So anyways, you know, the company, things we hear all the time, right? I'm from the tech side. I was a loan officer, but so I get a part of it. What do we always hear, right? It's fixed in dev, or it's been fixed in release, or it was a coding issue, or the data's fine. It was just something simple, right? That happens all the time. Anyways, test, test, test. So next week, we will focus on testing, and I will leave the expertise of reporting to Tyler later in the segment. But Iowa, 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 I'm sure we will hear more.
Oh, yeah. There's so much about this that is just so fascinating, this topic. Yeah.
Yeah.
They should have hired you. They should have hired you as a consultant. Obviously, did not. That's a big mistake. But you can get all of Alan's wisdom and knowledge by with a phone call. You want to get a hold of Alan, get a hold of him. He works with us in the consulting business, has other things he's doing as well, but you can reach him at alan@tms-advisors.com. Thanks so much. Appreciate you so much for being here, friend. Really do.
Likewise.
Our friends at Finastra do a great job. They're a sponsor, thrilled to have them as such. Check out their mortgage bot mobile solution, and they also, their point of sale system is pretty effective on how you can brand it around your company, your technology. And then go to our website at LincolnOnLending.com under advertisers. Check out some of the testimonials are there. It's pretty powerful and what they have available. So appreciate any, if you're interested in advertising with us, by all means, you could go to the website and learn more about that. Andy Schell, the Profit Doctor and the PhD now as CMB. I was going to call you, Andy. We pre-recorded a segment with Bob Brooksmith and the CMB Society. And guess what? They managed to do that you've been trying to get me to do forever.
Become a CMB.
Yes. And guess who I want to sponsor me? You.
Me.
You. The Profit Doctor. Go to the smartest guy in the room. I was going to tell you about that. We're going to be airing that segment next week, the interview. It's a great interview, and because I'll be traveling back from jolly old England and on that trip, so we're going to do a pre-recorded program next week, and that is the interview. You want to go listen to that, listeners. It's a really good interview about the CMB program. Decided we had Bob Brooksmith on there. We had as well as two other individuals on there, and just really love that podcast recording. So it's good stuff, but they talked me into it. I couldn't resist it, Andy. I finally go, this is it. And I admitted all of my fears. We put it all out there on tape. The ghosts in my closet came out, dyslexia. I hate taking tests. The fear of failing at 70 years old on a national scale like this. It's like that. But I thought, who would be the best one to coach me? Andy Schell. Make sure I get over the finish line.
And now that you've announced it on the podcast, you have the entire world knowing that you're going to be taking the test. So nothing like more pressure. But you know, all you have to do is forget about the typing and think about the answer, and then you know the answer. It's just a matter of getting it into words. But you can do that too. All you got to do is dictate it. So we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. So we're putting that in and putting you in. I don't know what we have to do that. There we go. Announced it ahead of time, even for our upcoming podcast next week. What you got, Profit Doctor?
Well, I'm honored to be your CMB sponsor. I'll make sure you get through the test and get proctored, and we'll do it at Opie's or something, and it'll be great.
Yeah, so get to over some good barbecue beer. That's for sure.
So today's podcast, the Profit Doctor segment, I thought I would talk a little bit about the growing dynamics of mortgage lending and all the pieces that fit together and some of the challenges that mortgage lenders face, and I was going to touch it from two different directions all at the same time. So let me start with one of the things that we take for granted. Now, we all know that an independent mortgage company is not a depository. You don't open up a checking account at a mortgage company. So mortgage companies have to get their money from someplace. So they borrow money from banks, FDIC banks, which are depositories, make loans to independent mortgage companies so that the IMB can then make a loan to the borrower. The IMB then sells the loan and generates the gain on sale and gets the cash. And all that happens because it started with borrowing money from the FDIC bank. So all of these mortgage loans that we make and sell happen because we had a relationship with a warehouse line lender. Now, what we got to remember too, though, a warehouse line lender is an FDIC bank. So what does that mean? Why do I care? Well, there's a lot of rules. There's a lot of things that FDIC banks have to follow. Both Dave and I started careers with depositories, and there's just tons of stuff you got to know. So I'm going to hit just a few of them. Well, for one, it's a bank. It's an FDIC bank. It's regulated by the FDIC. And because it's regulated by the FDIC, it means that there are federal examiners that come in to the bank and look at, second guess, challenge, question every loan decision the FDIC bank makes. So when the FDIC bank says, okay, ABC Mortgage, we're going to make you a warehouse line of credit, that loan is subject to scrutiny by the federal examiners. They're going to come in and look at it and say, why did you make this loan? Were they good enough? Did you review their financial statements? Did you review their operational controls? How did you validate that this mortgage company is a good credit risk to the bank? So all this happens behind the scene. All this happens on every single mortgage loan that we make. We borrowed money from the bank, and in order to get the bank to lend us the money so that we could borrow the money, we had to go through all these hoops, and we had to get approval. The FDIC bank warehouse line lender had to approve us as a borrower in order to get the money to make the loans. So all this is happening in the background. And in order to be approved and in order to stay approved, there's a number of things you got to be able to demonstrate. And Dave and I have been doing this for a really long time. And it's just part of the life. It's part of business. I know Joe Farr is on the phone too, and I know he's been deeply involved with both lending and helping people get warehouse lines. But the bottom line of it is you got to show financial strength. In fact, the amount of money that a bank will lend you is based on your financial strength. And that financial strength is measured both by profitability and by the retained profits or your net worth, the capital base of the firm. Warehouse line lenders will make loans based on the capital of the independent mortgage company and based on the ongoing profit of the mortgage company and the cash flow of the mortgage company that generate to maintain and generate cash flow is super important. And then you have to show the bank that you're doing well every month or sometimes only every quarter, but you got to send them a debt covenant certificate is what they call it. But basically it's just a financial statement where you say, yep, we're doing great, we're making money. And you know, when you send that document to the FDIC bank, if that information is not accurate, that's a federal offense, because the FDIC bank, the warehouse line lender, is a regulated depository, and that's loan fraud if you misrepresent the debt covenant certificate you send into the bank. If you lie about your profits and send it to the bank, that's a federal offense. It's a big deal. People don't ever talk about that. So quickly getting to the end of this, there's a bunch of other stuff, but in order to get approved for a loan, you got to have good investor scorecards. You got to have good resumes of your origination team, your operations team. They're going to look at their neighborhood watch, make sure you're not crazy out of control. They want to see that you have policies and procedures about how you do your business. They want to make certain that you've got good fraud controls, and all this stuff fits together in order to get that ability to do what we do every day, which is make a loan. And if we have poor investor scorecards because we push the limit and get loans rejected or have high fallout because we lock stuff that's junk, or if we have poor financial controls, all those things will affect the renewal of the warehouse line, or it can affect the interest rate that the warehouse line makes charges you. So all this stuff matters. So be respectful about the FDIC limits, being sure that debt covenant certificate is accurate. And one of the key things, and I know Dave talks about this a lot, communicate. Let the lender know. Let the FDIC bank know how it's going. Don't surprise them at the end of a quarter by showing them your volume cut in half and you lost money. Do not do that. Communicate in advance. If you got a big branch that quits, let the lender know. If you've got financial challenges because you had a repurchase demand that you lost money in, let them know. Communicate. Let them know. Don't let them find out at the end. That's bad. So that's part of mortgage lending, is going on behind the scenes. But then also in mortgage lending, there's questions that come up. So I'm going to hit this last point really, really fast, Dave. This is actually a topic that is floating around the world of CMBs. So once you become a certified mortgage banker, you become part of a group of there's 600 people in the whole country that are certified mortgage bankers, and you get put on this email list as a CMB. And one of the topics that came up today, I thought I would just float out for the listeners, is about the Fannie Mae appraisal waiver. So the Fannie Mae appraisal waiver says that you don't have to get the property value validation that you would normally get through an appraisal is waived. So everybody agrees on that point. So the question, though, is the question isn't about the appraisal waiver. The question is about, does the Fannie Mae appraisal waiver also waive property condition? So does it cover value and condition of the property, or does the waiver only cover value and not condition of the property? So why does that matter? Let's say you make a loan, it goes into foreclosure, the house was trashed, And then Fannie Mae takes the property because they manage the properties. And then they send you a bill for the repairs because you didn't validate that the condition of the property was good. So it's an open question. There's ongoing debate about this. Some companies just don't worry about it because the probability of this actually happening is so low that it's not worth the cost of getting inspections. But it's an open question. And that's part of what you get when you are in the CMB club, when you qualify for the exam, take the exam, pass the exam, pass all the written requirements. You have to also pass an oral requirement. You have to be invited into the membership. But when you are, you get to be part of this kind of stuff and learn about all the key things going on in the industry. So, Dave, I'm very excited that you're heading down this path. And I think one quick point, the reason that you haven't yet is because of a reading challenge that you have.
Yeah.
And it's not for lack of desire. It's lack of a physical limitation. And so, you know, I got a long time ago, and you didn't because of this limitation. But that's the only reason, because otherwise an advisor, expert in the industry, should always have a CMB. You didn't yet because of this, but you're getting it now. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. And looking forward to it. I couldn't believe when we recorded that, and I'm going, I'm going to cross the line, going to do it. You've been trying to influence me for some time. But something you were talking about earlier on warehouse lines, I was fortunate enough when I got my first warehouse line, it was with First Collateral up in the Bay Area. Bill Ritter and Lynn Merkel were running the company back then, and Bill Ritter took me under his wing, and he said, Dave, there's two phone calls. If something goes bad in your mortgage lending operation, there's two phone calls you need to make. The first one is to your wife. The second one is to your warehouse lender. Never, we're that close. We are that important in the information ladder. That's how important. I stress that. I'll never forget that. Good segment, Andy. Appreciate it so much. Prophet, doctor, and PhD, born just figuratively. He has now got a real PhD after that. CPA, CFF, CMB, and PhD. Andy Schell, PhD 1 and going for PhD 2. So he'll be PhD squared here pretty soon. That's pretty amazing. Love it.
Thank you.
Folks, this ends the weekly update on our podcast. But those of you who are listening live, just stay right in. We're going to flow right into the hot topic segment. But without further ado, let's get started on that. Welcome to the Hot Topics segment of the Lickin' and Lending podcast. So excited about this one. You say that, Lickin', you lose your credibility because you say it at all of them. But that's true. But when you get to have friends on, it is one of those things where you just get so excited about it. I already introduced Tyler Sherman as a good friend and formerly founder of Motivity Solutions, now Chief Revenue Officer of Origination Technologies, a division of the Black Knight Company, one of our sponsors, which are one of our proud sponsors. We're so thrilled to have them. And they're a premium provider of integrated software and data analytics in the mortgage industry. And Tyler's responsible for establishing the vision and long-term strategy that combines the multiple lending products within Black Knight, including artificial intelligence, enterprise business intelligence, point-of-sale technology, the fee service that they offer. We had to get into those two gals on. Go back and Google that podcast. We'll put a link to it in our podcast, as well as pricing, product eligibility, and e-closing. I got to tell you, there's so much information that and data that Black Knight has. You've got to check it out. But we're thrilled to have him there. Black Knight's Origination Technologies is one of the leaders in the space, and they're getting further down the food chain, which is very interesting. So, Tyler, welcome back to the podcast. So good to have you here.
Thanks, Dave. Always good to be on the show, and a big fan. So appreciate you having me on.
Well, that's an honor. When it comes to to our listeners, it's no surprise that mortgage costs, Tyler, have kind of gotten to some of the highest levels they have. Now, the Marina Walsh we had on here recently, a couple of podcasts ago, said, no, it's actually falling backwards, not because of cost savings, it's because of volume. So we're diluting the cost out through more originations. But if originations were to drop back again to the previous levels, we'd see that jump back up. And it's presenting a lot of challenges to the industry. And some have wondered even if it's worth staying in the business. So you have a unique perspective on this. You've always been very innovative, Tyler. And we're so thrilled to have you as our guest. And it's just a welcome back, friend. I noticed you have a new title. We start off, we've had you as a previous guest. We don't need to get into all your background, all that you've done. I already kind of alluded to it. But you're now the Chief Revenue Officer for Black Knight Origination Technologies. Congratulations. That's really exciting. Tell us a little bit about what your new role means and what it entails.
Okay, great. Yes, since the acquisition of Motivity by Black Knight, boy, it's been 3.5 years now.
Hard to believe.
We've really looked at the origination market of Black Knight and are laser focused on helping reduce the cost to originate a loan. And due to that, we've made 5 to 6 acquisitions over the past 4 or 5 years, Motivity being one of those, and really focused on driving those products and those individual product sets like Motivity into our origination lifecycle. So, you know, the past 3.5 years, I've been running our business intelligence group within Black Knight, really bringing all of our analytic technology to the servicing side. It's been a lot of fun. And since the acquisitions that we've made, and I'll go through those in a little bit, they asked me to really take a look at this suite of origination products and figure out how to fully integrate them together and have them plug into any underlying loan origination system. So my mandate is to take this suite of products, make sure that they're fully integrated with our best-in-class loan origination system, Empower, but then also bring that technology and enable it to any loan origination system out in the market. So you don't have to go through a full,
good.
I call it a heart and lung transplant, you know, you know, to take advantage of some of this technology. So so that's my new role back on the origination side. You know, that's how I grew up, having owned a mortgage banking company and starting Motivity. So really excited to be focused on the origination side again.
Yeah, you speak the language very well as a former owner, and your dad, your brother, you, as a family business, you guys did really well. And but you always had such an interest in technology, so I'm really fascinated about this. Now, a lot of people know Black Knight historically as a technology provider to the largest lenders and servicers, and now there's this, we're hearing about the push to the mid-market level. What are you hearing from clients in this space? How are they receiving that, and what are the challenges? I mean, how do you? I mean, we have Ellie Mae and all the other big ones. They service the lower market, and now since they've been bought, they're kind of going up to the enterprise level. And you're there's an intersection going on. So, being smart that you are, I mean, Black Knight and everyone there, including yourself, there's obviously you're picking up on something. Is it opportunity? What is it?
Yeah, it definitely is that. I mean, if you look at the origination market, there are many disparate systems that fail to integrate together. But what I look at is scale and the ability to scale throughout the market.
Yeah.
And it's tough to scale up. You know, a lot of lenders mortgage technology providers start with some smaller originators, and then they try to move up in the market. And the infrastructure and their technology stack is not built for that. We're fortunate enough to have gone the opposite way. So many of the larger servicers and originators use our loan origination and servicing technology, and bringing that down to the mid-market is a lot easier to do than scale up. The only difference there is you have to have a price point that competes with other technology providers, which we do. And the ease of implementation, it can't be a year-long or two-year-long implementation. And most of our technology, we've gotten to 6 months or less from a full-blown implementation perspective. So I'm really excited about the investments that we've made really in the mid-market. And we're bringing that best-in-class technology that really only larger providers could take advantage of before. We're bringing that down to the mid-market.
Yeah, we were recently retained to go out and search all the solutions out there in the market because someone's with one of the larger LOS systems, and they're saying, we're done. We got to go find another home. And I was quite impressed with they were quite impressed. I can be impressed, but they're the ones going to buy the system. They're very impressed with what you're doing. And one of the things that was driving their decision to look for a new system is lowering costs and improving margins. And it is a focus that everyone's really should be focusing on and is focusing on. So tell us, what is Black Knight doing to help address margin compression and all these kind of issues and under your leadership?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's gotten ridiculous. I mean, over the years, we've seen origination costs go up and up. And as you said, there's been a slight reprieve over the past few months due to volume, but it's still going to be over $8,000 per loan to originate a loan, which is absolutely ridiculous. So, you know, at Black Knight, we decided to do something about it. When we're talking to mid-market originators, it's almost too costly to run a profitable business because of the skyrocketing costs. So what we've done is, like I said, make targeted investments in certain technology pieces. And really it's about automation. So everything we're focusing on is eliminating manual processes and then proactive prevention of problems. So using artificial intelligence, machine learning.
Yeah. I like that. That's a good soundbite. Proactive provision. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so instead of putting out fires, as most operations do, we're trying to prevent fires from even happening. So that's really what we're focused on is a technology stack. And this is from, OCR, ADR type technology, which is really the foundation for any artificial intelligence, which we can get into in a little bit here. Point of sale system, our fee service through Ernst, our full e-close capabilities, our compliance tool with regulatory assist. We just acquired Compass Analytics, so it's all about full fee margin management. And then obviously near and dear to my heart is business intelligence, and we've launched our new, kind of the next gen of Motivity is our actionable intelligence platform. So that entire suite of products is narrowly focused on reducing the cost of originating a loan. And we have fully baked ROI on every single product that we offer. And the goal is to try to get to $1,000 per loan in reductions in costs by using our entire suite of products. So
yeah, it's impressive. It's really quite impressive what you guys are doing. We had Rich Gagliano on and Sufi Savavi of Heavy Water. You guys acquired that company. We had them as guests on August 20th, 2018. We also had you on. I can't underscore that enough. Several people said, when did you have Tyler on? I got a couple text messages rolled in now. It was October 1st, 2018. And then also we had Shelley Leonard on June 25th of 2018. And that podcast, all the podcasts that Black Knight's doing are getting a lot of ad play on our website. So it's really interesting, the interest. Shelley was so articulate about the vision of where they're at. So impressed with what you're doing. So can you tell us about the product suite that you have? You just mentioned a lot of products. And how do you bring those products together in a cohesive manner? I'm really interested in how you're doing that, Tyler.
Yeah, and so it's a great question because, one of the things that's plagued the industry is really non-integrated products. And so using products from different vendors, from different areas of the organization, in my opinion, fully integrating those products is the only way to recognize the ROI on it. So what we've done, and we did this to bolster our loan origination system. So we went out and said, hey, we need to digitize the customer experience. So we're going to invest and build our own point of sale system. Obviously, there are some market leaders out there that have been doing point of sale for a while. But again, they started at the front end experience.
Right.
And the kind of the questionnaire that you guide the customer through. And the biggest challenge is now you have to get into actually making underwriting decisions, pricing loans, and you have to do what a loan origination system does eventually. Well, if you already have all of that capability in the loan origination system, it's easy to digitize that experience for the consumer and for the loan officer on the front end. So again, because we have a scalable, proven, powerful loan origination system, we're just opening up a new experience on the front end for consumers and loan officers. And so it's a different way of going about it. So we started with the core platform, and now we're offering that digital experience out to our customers. And the nice thing about it at Black Knight, it's a fully integrated experience with our servicing digital application as well. So if you're utilizing both sets of our technology,
you have an end-to-end experience that the customer does not have to leave their digital experience from origination through loan servicing. So, you know, it's an extremely powerful message and really helping that customer for life that we're all looking for.
Yeah, that's so important. The customer for life is a concept that I know you and I talked about years ago, that you and your family's mortgage company had that. And it's easier said than done. And what I'm really interested in is knowing now that you have this end-to-end origination technology suite that really covers the whole life cycle of this, how do you bring in companies like Ernst and Compass Analytics into the to fit in the picture? We had the two gals out from Ernst, and I was so impressed with what that is. It's like, oh my gosh, it was such a that's just such a no-brainer. We needed that. But how do you integrate something like Compass Analytics to this suite?
Well, so you mentioned Compass Analytics and Ernst. So Ernst is our patented fee engine
right.
that we acquired about a year and a half ago. And really, they guarantee accurate fees throughout any point in the loan life cycle. So if you think about a point of sale system and having accurate fees from the get-go, and so when you produce your loan estimate, you have accurate fees. Mm-hmm. That's where Compass Products and Pricing Engine fits in as well. So you have accurate pricing, you know which product the customer is eligible for, and then you have accurate fees from the beginning on a point of sale. You couple that with our AVA technology, which you've had on the show,
yes.
and you talk to Sufi
Love
from Heavy
it.
Water,
yes.
where we are capturing documents at the very point of sale, indexing them, and then doing smart document recognition to let the consumer know, hey, you uploaded 3 pay stubs and we needed 4, and alerting them immediately that there's an issue as opposed to waiting for a week throughout the loan origination process. So the idea here is that we're taking these best-in-class technologies, and you mentioned Compass, you mentioned Ernst, you mentioned Motivity, you mentioned AVA. We're integrating that into the customer experience, and we're using these pieces and fully integrating that across the loan lifecycle. And a point that I really want to reiterate is that it does not have to be connected to our Empower loan origination.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, the entire suite of products, obviously we feel our loan origination system is best in class. But
okay.
it is, you know, some people aren't ready. They don't want to go through that transition. But we can plug and fill gaps that some of these other loan origination systems may have by plugging in this integrated suite of products.
We've done a great job. I want to say, we talked about Ernst, and we had Liz Gilchrist Kelly on along with Jan Dalton Clark of Ernst. And we had that for those that are looking for the link. It go back to November 4th, 2019, when we had them on. And I was really impressed with what they have. But it's bringing that all together. That is not a simple task. So kudos to you for having to figure that out. Is that – we're just getting some questions in. If I can ask – let me read this real fast. When you're bringing that kind of number of complexity and diversity, how's the strategy to bring it in? Do they just sit alongside of each other, or are they really fully integrated? That's a question that just came in from one of our listeners.
Yeah, that's a great question. That there's a scale of integration, I would say. So
mm-hmm.
I start with where
yeah.
you get the data. So a fully integrated suite of products from a one connection to many. And so we have pre-built connectors to a loan origination system, and it powers a data model that is wide enough and deep enough to power this entire suite of products. So we're getting real-time data feeds and then powering this suite of products. And then you don't have to worry about integrating each time you roll out an additional product. So you can basically flip on new functionality without having to go through an integration process.
That's
so
really
start
good.
With that
yeah.
integration point, validate the data, and then from there we flip on services as the client needs them.
That's good.
What we're working on in our roadmap is a fully unified user experience, the end user experience, as you know. And we made 6 acquisitions over the last 3 years. And so getting that full user experience, so the same look and feel is really on our roadmap for this year.
It's outstanding. Alan, I've got a bunch of text messages, questions coming in. I'm going to get to Tyler in just a minute, so I'll go to you and then go to Joe, and then I'll bring some of these questions forward. Go ahead, Alan.
Sure. Yeah, good to chat with you, Tyler. You know, God, everything you're talking about sounds so great. And I think we've talked in prior podcast weeks that there is a challenge. Everybody wants all this great technology, but, you know, they can't do it because either one, there's too much to manage and they don't know how, or they don't have the right staff, or they just can't possibly integrate all these things together, right? So one is I'll ask you a question about that if you just want to talk another minute about the importance of having these things so tightly integrated and having that one endpoint, for example, that folks can connect to. And then second is ROI. I found over the last couple of years, you know, you can tell somebody, look, we're going to eliminate 3 employees, but they really don't, right? So you have to look at ROI a little differently. So maybe you can talk about that as well.
Yeah, from an implementation standpoint, what we've tried to do is take as much as possible off of our clients' plate. You know, that's what we work extremely hard on is saying, hey, we will integrate to your systems. They obviously have to validate the data and that there is work that the client has to do. But we don't look at these as giant implementation projects. We look at things, I mean, our loan origination system is being implemented in 6 months or less right now. All of these other product suites are a 90-day or less implementation with very limited effort from the client. So we took a concerted effort on, you know, if we look at mass enablement, how do we get this out to the market quickly? And how do we get people up and live without a huge effort, especially when, you know, volumes are, you know, all hands on deck trying to get all the loans closed that they have within the organization. So,
of course,
you know, the other piece is, you know, on ROI, that is a tough one. So, you know, from business intelligence, it's hard to, you know, quantify measurable ROI because you have to eliminate an employee typically. So what we focus on is scale and then eliminating the mundane routine tasks that your employees are currently doing, whether that's through process automation or, you know, work management or through full automation, and trying to free up time so they can do higher level tasks and higher level skill type tasks. So making a more strategic workforce as opposed to doing staring compare type activities, route mundane tasks. So that's, you know, I will always say, hey, you can eliminate employees, or as volumes grow, you can scale without adding new employees. But freeing up your employees higher skill level tasks, I think, is the best way to approach it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for that.
Joe. Any questions that you want to bring forward to our good friend Tyler?
Yeah, Tyler, I'm wondering how, at what point does it make sense or not make sense to try to integrate your systems? What size of a company out there would you say is maybe not a likely candidate for your systems, or do you go all the way down to the smallest?
Yeah, and, you know, we define the mid-market as anyone originating over 100 loans a month. And so, you know, we're reaching down pretty far into the market. You know, our loan origination system, and let me put an asterisk by that by saying, and wanting to grow. So if people are happy with their, you know, 100 loans a month and they don't have future plans to grow and they don't have aspirations of getting bigger and better, that's not really a fit for us. So we're looking for... Mm-hmm. You know, originators that want to be better, and we want to get them on the best-in-class technology now so they can scale with their growth and improve margins by not having to add employees as they scale. So I think, you know, we've perfected our implementation process. We've gotten our scale to a point that I would say anyone originating 100 loans a month or more is a fit.
Right.
I think that's a great point. The company that we were retained by to help select a new system, their high water mark was just over 100 loans a month, but they were really facing the decision, do we really want to grow beyond that? And I think it's really important to underscore the point that it's companies that are at that level or wanting to grow, and it's not a high water mark that you're going to roll backwards, but you should have the conversation nonetheless. You know, Tyler, when we had you on in October of 2018, we talked about the actual intelligence platform that you have, and the next stage in the evolution of data. And our regular listeners remember that well, but remind everyone how that differs from the Motivity solution that you had, that platform you had, and where things have evolved to.
Oh, great. Yeah, the Actionable Intelligence platform is really a combination of our Data Hub, which is our big data platform that brings in, mm-hmm. you know, our vast arrays of data, links all of that data together, and then Motivity, which is a business intelligence visualization tool. So it's a combination of both of those, and it's a platform that is more concentrated on delivering what we call actionable intelligence. So proactively preventing problems, presenting a task to someone at the right time, at the right moment, with the right information to do that task. So traditional business intelligence is a look back, and this is a more proactive, predictable, actionable intelligence is what I would say. So it's using machine learning and some bigger data concepts to drive performance as opposed to doing a look back and hoping people react to the data that's presented.
That's a good distinction on that. As we wrap up this interview today, I'm just looking at all the innovation that Black Knight has. And Shelley Leonard is probably one of the people I was just so fascinated with. I follow what Shelley says and who brings that. One of the questions that just came in is, how do you make the decision of where to go and pursue innovation? What is the process? Can you give us some insight in that without giving up the secret recipe?
Right. I think, what's great about being at Black Knight is I know of no other company in this industry making the level of investments that we are, either in innovation and acquisition. I mean, it's by far above. So we have a lot more resources to point at different areas to begin with. But we're focusing and continuing our investment in digital, really enabling customers to do more on their phone. Customers are loan officers. We're obviously investing in our Empower loan origination system through advanced automation. And what I'm most excited about is Ava. So it's our artificial intelligence virtual assistant. So it's taking machine learning and artificial intelligence to first kind of index and extract data, but then to automate the underwriting process. And that's that full automation of underwriting is where we're going to see the biggest lift of probably $500 per loan and saved time and effort.
So $500 per loan.
Really,
wow.
Yes. Just in using artificial intelligence to really eliminate a lot of the mundane tasks that processors and underwriters do today.
It's a bit of a horse race because there's a lot of people in that game, but I'm going to put my money on you guys. I think there's the artificial intelligence, your vision. I think it's not just having cool tools. It's executing on the cool things that you have. Artificial intelligence is one of the major game changers in our industry. You're also a visionary. I'm going to wrap it up with this question. What's in Tyler Sherman's head as far as the vision? And match that up with Black Knight. I mean, what's their lending industry look like from a technology standpoint? Just short 5 years out, major changes.
I don't think so. I think it's just a culmination. You know, I think we're getting closer and closer to a full e-close, which I'm really excited about. Yep. You know, announcements with Blend and DocuTech. I couldn't be more happy about those things because we're doing very similar things as well at Black Knight. So. Yeah. I think finally getting to an e-close as a reality. And then, like I said before, true artificial intelligence. So making decisions on data to eliminate manual processes. And that's it starts with data and documents, but then, you layer on business rules on there. And we can actually get to a point where artificial intelligence is driving, I'll say, 70 to 80% of the underwriting decisions that we're making. So that's where I see the market going.
Yeah. You must feel like you landed in a candy shop as a kid, I mean, or a toy store or something. It is just amazing the resources that Black Knight has available. The data that is there is mind-boggling. And when you look at all the acquisitions, what you're bringing together, it's pretty exciting. And then to have you, a mortgage banker, owned a mortgage banking company, owned a startup technology company, Now they're helping guide vision. I'm really excited about the future of Black Knight. And I'm not just saying that because you guys are advertisers. I'd be saying that if you were not. So, but man, Tyler Sherman, Chief Revenue Officer for Black Knight Origination Technologies, thank you so much for being on the podcast with me today. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Always a fan and appreciate you having me.
To learn more, go to blackknightinc.com and check out all that Tyler and the team are up to there. Very exciting. And to have them as a sponsor, a leader in the industry for sure. And you'll want to pay attention. Data, folks, whisper. Remember that movie years and years ago, The Graduate? And there was that one scene there. It says, and the big thing was, he whispered, it's all about plastics. It's all about plastics. Now it's all about data. Anyway, good to have you with us, Tyler. So much fun. Love having you here and the team. Next week, we're really excited. We'd already announced we're going to be having our the CMB Society on. We had Bob Brooksmit, president of the MBA, along with Madeline Johnson and Amber Lewis. We recorded it last. I'm talking about like his past tests. We recorded it this past week, and we're going to be playing it this coming Monday. You're not going to want to miss this podcast. There's a lot of information, especially for those that are considering getting in the CMB program. And you're going to hear some things that I don't often admit and talk about. But, you know, dyslexia is a real issue for a lot of us that have gone through college and deal with it, fought it for all our years. But I'm stepping up and I'm going, you know what? Step past those fears. I recognize the importance of this designation. So as I announce on this podcast, and you'll hear me talking about next week, I'll be signing up for the CMB program. Dear God, I hope I make it all the way through. Anyway, folks, thank you so much for being here with us this week. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Black Knight, Open Mortgage, Finastra, the MBA, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, CMLA, Indicom. Welcome, Indicom, to our list of sponsors, as well as Ainsworth, Knowledge Coop, Mobility RE, Celebrity Home Loans, Velma, and Vidyard, VendorSurf, and AI Assist. Check them all out in our website and Lickin' Lending podcast and the Lickin' Lending website, and go under sponsors, and you'll see one. When we have sponsors on, folks, it's not just to get advertising dollars. We really believe each one of these has something to share, and I could go through on and on about each one of these, but we don't have time. We're out of time. So be sure to tune in next week for the CMB focus on the hot topic. It'll be on the CMB program, and we appreciate you telling others about it. Thank you so much, listeners, for sharing this podcast out with others. Just click at a link out to others, and they'll know about it. And that's how we found you. That's how you found us. We hope you'll have a great week and look forward to having you back here next week, everybody. Have a great week. Thank you.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.